Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So we're continuing reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 5. Arjuna's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, and today's text is 9. Yata Dharmadayash Chartha Muni Varyana Kirtita Na Tata Vasudevasya Mahima Hi Anavarnitaha Yata Dharmadayascharta Muni Varyana Kirtitaha Natata Vasudevasya Mahima Hyanavarnitaha Vasudevasya doesn't have a long A at the end, it's not Ya. That's just yeah. Yata Dharmadayascharta Muni Varyana Kirtitaha Natata Vasudevasya Mahima Hyana Varnitaha Yata Dharmadayascharta Muni Varyana Kirtitaha Natata Vasudevasya Mahima Hyana Varnitaha. Please chant. Sarta Muni Varyana Kirtita Yata Dharmadayascharta Muni Varyana Kirtitaha Natata Vasudevasya Mahima Hyana Varnitaha. Vaishnavins. Yata Dharmadayascharta Muni Varyana Kirtitaha Natata Vasudevasya Mahima Hyana Varnitaha. Okay. Yata as much as Dharma Adayaha. All four principles of religious behavior. Cha. And artaha, purposes. Munivarya, by yourself, the great sage. Anakirtitaha, repeatedly describe. Na, not. Tata, in that way. Vasudevasya, of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Mahima, glories. He, certainly, Anavarnitaha, so constantly described. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. Please repeat. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. He has certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Sri Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew very well this difference, and still, instead of giving more importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. From this, it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is clearly mentioned. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity and so on, one is engaged in pure devotional service. This is called the stage of self-realization or the Brahma-Bhuta stage. After attainment of this Brahma-Bhuta stage, one is satisfied. But satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. And passing this stage of equanimity, one is fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the instruction of the Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion is that in order to maintain the status quo of the Brahma-Bhuta stage, as also to increase the degree of transcendental realization, Narada recommended to Vyasadeva that he, Vyasadeva, should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from gross despondency. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashasiddhishtarani Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stakitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savanutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatamsha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namosate, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Rindavaneshwari, Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pre, Vancha Kopaturvya Shah Kripa Sanduvi Evacha, Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're hearing the sacred conversation between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva, who are both extant, in other words, still existing. Narada Muni is already in the spiritual world, on the spiritual platform. He never disappears. He's always coming and going from the spiritual world to the material world. And Srila Vyasadeva, as we've heard, is an incarnation of Krishna. And Prabhupada mentioned earlier that he's still in Bhadarikaksha ashram. Not that he's confined there. It's his home base. He can go anywhere. He might be here right now. Prabhupada indicated on several occasions that great personalities come to visit his temples unbeknownst to us. Like in the Kirtan, he indicated once, Narad Muni's here. So Vyasadeva could come to Bhagavatam class. Nothing restricting him, nothing stopping him. He's completely free to travel anywhere he wants. So we have to present his teachings with that consciousness. That Vyasadeva, we're allowed to sit on the Vyasasan, the seat of Vyasadeva, and we're supposed to be repeating the statements of Vyasadeva as we've received in the supplic succession. Not as we perceive or speculate, but as we've received in the supplic succession. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us elaboration on Narada Muni's statements to Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Prabhupada actually gave a lecture on this verse and the next two verses, 9 through 11, in New Vrindavan in 1969, I believe it was. And he stressed this word, Dharma-adaya. Dharma-adaya. Dharma, we know, as Prabhupada said many times, is mistranslated in English as religion or religious belief. But he said it's not belief. It's not based on belief. If religion is a belief system, then modern science is also religion, even though they don't like to think like that. They like to put down the followers of religion, saying that you guys are just acting on sentiment and belief in God, but you can't prove. But they also believe in their scientific speculations. And they present those beliefs as facts to the poor, unfortunate students. And you don't have any option of opting out, of not accepting. No, you have to accept. Otherwise, you fail all your science classes and your future is bleak. If you don't pass any science courses in school, your future is bleak. But it's all based on belief. They have yet to explain, to show concretely, how such complex life forms can come out of simple, single cell. As they speculate, those single cell living entities were generated out of matter, and somehow or other over time they become more complex life forms. But if we study carefully, even our own body, what to speak of, like the body of a cow. A cow has four stomachs, as we've mentioned. And she eats, and then she'll sit down. When she's eating, the first time around it goes in the first stomach, then she'll bring it up and chew it, and then it goes in the second stomach, and then bring it up again later on and put it in the third stomach. Where, show us the step-by-step, you know, development of such an animal, that they had no stomach at first, single-cell creatures, they don't have any stomach, and then show us how it got to be one stomach, and then two, and then three, and then four. They just accept it. It happened. They believe. So this is, according to their definition of religion, that's also religion. You're believing in things that you can't explain. Clearly. You just say it happened. We have yet to find all the missing links, but we believe it happened. Then that's religion. You're presenting your belief, not facts. So Prabhupada really wanted us to be aware of this, because our tendency is, because we want sense gratification in this material world, and because we see the scientists as our greatest hope for sense gratification. In other words, they're going to create so many fancy machines that make our lives easier and more exciting, and ultimately they might even fix this machine so it keeps on going on and on and on and on and never dies. So we still have in the back of our consciousness this hope, because we want to stay here in this material world and defy Krishna. So our hope is the priests of science. After all, they've given us so many wonderful machines, airplanes and washing machines. But Prabhupada pointed out, you look at any of their so-called great inventions, they've created a set of concomitant miseries that go along with it. In order to produce that gigantic airplane that can carry 600 people at a time from America to Europe, so many people have to be employed, making every part down to the smallest screw. Somebody's employed in some job that they probably hate. They go to work every day and they have to take this metal and put it in this machine and push a button and stamp it and make all these thousands of screws. Or bigger parts, or the electrical systems of every subsystem of that plane, somebody's laboring to make. And they don't feel happy about it, guaranteed, for the most part. They're not happy. Every day laboring away, making some obscure part that goes into some gigantic machine like an airplane. And then we know how travel is so bothersome nowadays. To get 600 people on one plane means 600 cars have to go to LAX to drop off and pick up people coming in on another plane. With 600 people, and then you get on that plane and it's so uncomfortable and you can't breathe after an hour, but you're there for 15 hours If you're going to India, especially, nonstop LA to Dubai or wherever, Frankfurt, 10 to 15 hours of flying. And or if you go through China, same thing, 15 hours to Guangzhou or someplace like that. Then you get an hour break and then another five-hour flight to Delhi. So it's miserable. Their so-called advancement of science simply creates misery for the living entities. So, but why is there such stress on that? Because they're stressing artha, economic development. Prabhupada said in that lecture that first you have to stress religiosity, real religion. This is the first stress, dharma and then artha. But they've kicked out dharma. They don't believe in it at all, or if you want to believe in God, that's up to you. Just don't get in our way. we're progressing. We're making big progress here. Stay out of our way with your belief in God. But we're running a secular state here. We don't promote any religion. But Prabhupada said no. Secular state means that you don't promote any one religion over any other. But you have to see that the population are following some form of religion. Otherwise, they remain animals. They remain animals. No religious sentiment means animal sentiment. And the animal sentiment is to exploit others. Real human sentiment is to do good for others. The natural sentiment of animals is to exploit others, even their own kind. That's why you find amongst many, many animal communities, there's cannibalism. If I'm hungry and I can't find my natural prey, then I'll eat my own offspring. This is animal mentality. But human beings without any religious training, they fall into that same mentality. We see how they mistreat their children. And the day will come when they will actually eat them. And that's already predicted for the future of Kali Yuga. But even now, today, every day in the news, there's some horrible story of some parent just totally abusing their offspring. No sentiment of mother, father, real parenthood, because they're not trained. Without training, in Kali Yuga, everything is lost. Everything is lost. All sentiment of any kind goes down the tubes without training. So this is what Prabhupada is doing for the human society, and they don't appreciate it. By creating his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he's creating real human beings, not polished animals, which is what exists out there. Polished animals. The parents are happy if the child is just born with all limbs intact. Two arms, two legs, everything, nothing deformed. They look like a normal child. Oh, they're so happy. And then if they can go to school and get a degree and get a job, oh, wonderful. No question of what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. They don't care. Just get a job. So at least we can get you out of the house. Don't think you can live here indefinitely. Previously, it was everybody stayed and you had a joint family, big community of family members, brothers, cousins, uncles, aunts living in one compound. No, we don't want that anymore. As soon as you are old enough, go to college, get a job, get out so that we can enjoy life again. There was no enjoyment when we were raising you guys. You were simply a burden. Now you get a job, get out, and so we can travel and have fun. This is a modern parental attitude. So this is not human life. This is not human life. And people, recently I scanned the Yahoo News every day just to see what's prominent. So a couple of days ago, because it was Christmas time, somebody posted an article saying how Muslims believe in Jesus. They accept Jesus. And it's even in the Quran, they quoted a couple of verses that mention Jesus and that he's Messiah like that. And then some Christian wrote back, but they don't accept him as son of God. And then there was a big discussion back and forth about that. So then I chimed in. I said, we're all children of God. Otherwise, why do you call him father? So it was noteworthy. Every other post, there was so many thumbs up and down. My post, no reaction. I checked the whole day, the next day. Nobody reacted. Because they don't want to think. They don't want to stop and think. Yes. If God is, if we say, oh, our father, who are, then I'm his son. Why would you be calling him father if you're not his son? You don't go up to some strange guy and say, hey, dad. You don't do that. You call somebody father who's actually your father. So God is the father of all of us, not just the father of Jesus Christ. He's everybody's father. But we know that there are special offspring. Even on the mundane level, we see that. In a family of three, four, five children, there'll be one or two that are really dedicated to the parents and you know, they want the parents' input and they follow their guidance and like that. Good children. And in every batch, there's going to be at least one or two that are really bad. Bad and then really bad, like the Menendez brothers we've talked about so many times here in California. They're a famous case. Parents were rich. They couldn't wait for them to die and inherit, so they killed them. So like that, you have a variety of offspring. Depending on the modes of nature we know that they're born under, they're going to act differently. From the same parents, you can have somebody, Papa would point out, that becomes a judge, and another son that becomes a thief and comes before his brother to be judged. So it's like that. Depending on the modes of nature that you cultivate, from the same parents, you can have vastly different offspring. So similarly, on the spiritual platform, even though God is everyone's father, some are good sons, completely obedient to God and will do what God wants. And even beyond that, they will try their best to please God at every moment. That's the pure devotee of the Lord. And then you have the mixed middle, and then you have the really bad ones who deny God's existence and try to even kill God, and then Purvi appears before them like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and like that. So variety of offspring. But we cannot deny how you can say you're a religious person, you believe in God, God is the Father, and then you say, but Jesus is the only Son. It doesn't make any sense. We're all children of God. We just have to be trained how to be good children. Stop being bad children. We have to be trained properly. So Srila Prabhupada is doing every government around the world a favor by spreading his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, training people to do good for others. Ultimate good. Bhajanarayan Maharaj, I'm on his mailing list, so he sends out a lot of inspirational stuff and sometimes some things, warnings about people who travel around claiming to be sannyasis and they're not. Stuff like that. He's always sending out. So a couple of days ago, he sent out one email about the situation in Toronto. In Toronto, the weather is so bad right now. It is so cold, like minus 27 or something like that. They've canceled all of their New Year's related outdoor activities. Everything canceled. But in that environment, the devotees are going out every day. Every day the devotees go out and distribute books in minus 27 degree weather. And they had goals, and they're meeting their goals. They wanted to distribute so many thousand Gitas for the marathon. They're very close. And they wanted to distribute something like 200 sets of Bhagavatam, and they're also getting close to that goal. So like that, devotees of the Lord, and even the devotees in training, and not saying that these are all pure devotees of the Lord necessarily, but because they have committed to this devotional lifestyle, they are doing good for others. That's their life. They're doing good for others. At the risk of their own health, they go out in sub-freezing weather. And this is not something new. This was going on when Prabhupada was here. The devotees, especially Radha Damodar Party, they knew. Prabhupada needs every dollar he can get from America to build his Indian temples. So devotees were going out in this weather. And I wasn't part of the party. I did a little traveling Sankirtan, but not in that kind of weather. But so devotees would go. Suhas and Surya can attest. They would go to, you know, Minneapolis, to all kinds of northern places in the dead of winter. And people were so impressed. Sometimes people would say, you know, I'm buying this book, not because I believe necessarily what's in the book, but because I see how dedicated you guys are. So dedication will attract positive response. When people see how dedicated the devotees are, in all kinds of weather, they go out. Similarly in Hawaii, somebody told me that they used to go out every day there in Honolulu. Rain, shine, it didn't matter, they were out. And one day, one old lady came up to one of the brahmacharis and said, can I get one of your magazines? So he was shocked. Yes, of course. Nobody in those days would come up and ask, you know. And she said, you know why I'm buying this magazine from you? Because I see that you people are so dedicated. No matter what the weather is, scorching heat and rain, whatever, you come out and chant. So dedication on the path of Krishna consciousness attracts positive attention. So we should know that. It's not that we should feel that because we don't get immediate reaction all the time that what we're doing is not worthwhile. No. It's taken note of. If not by the general population at any one given point, Srila Vyasadeva is taking note. Narad Muni is taking note. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna ultimately takes note of everything that we do. So we should go on in that spirit. Go out, spread the holy name, distribute prasadam, distribute teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And it is being noted, and we will be justly rewarded, way beyond anything we can imagine. They're trying to give us economic rewards, and they're failing like anything. Up and down, up and down. Not just America, anywhere in the world, the economy is up and down. Because it's a material world. And Chanchala, Lakshmi Devi is Chanchala, because she's the property of Narayan. So if you try to own her without paying obeisances to her pati, Lord Narayan, then she's not going to stick around. So we see, one generation may be very wealthy, and then the very next generation is all gone. Or one person in one lifetime. They go up and down. They were poor, they win the lottery, $300 million, and come back in 6 years, and they're again poor. You know, like that. So, Lakshmi Devi is Chanchala. You cannot control her without surrendering to her master, Lord Narayan. So, the devotees are intelligent. They don't try to control Lakshmi Devi. They try to please her pati, Lord Narayan, and then whatever he decides to give, the devotees accept. We're still in this material world, so this body is going to give us trouble. I mean, not to bore you, I'm going through quite a few troubles right now myself, but we know this, so we don't dwell on that. We continue with our devotional service to the best of our ability. And the day will come when the body will no longer function, and this is what we're being trained for. That when that day arrives, we can leave in the right consciousness. Not regretting that I wasn't able to do this or to go there. Now, my bucket list is not complete. I never made it to Bali or whatever. Prabhupada stopped one devotee one day and he noticed he was making arrangements to go. He said, "Where are you going?" I don't think this person had been initiated yet, but he was coming around regularly. So Prabhupada said, "Where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going traveling, Prabhupada. I want to go to the XYZ places." Prabhupada said, "Well, why?" He said, "When you go there, you'll see it's the same stuff. That's happening here, is happening there. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending." So why are you so eager to go there? Nothing radical is going to be happening. If you've never been to Beijing, you go to Beijing, you're going to find the same stuff is happening. People are getting up, working hard so they can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. The air quality is worse than Los Angeles, by the way. So it's like that. But anywhere you go in this world, even if you go to some nice mountaintop in Switzerland, I've been to a few there, and yes, fresh air and all that. But Prabhupada said, he was in Switzerland. He said, yes, they maintain very, very nice houses here in Switzerland. But he said, they're so attached to the house, guaranteed next life they're coming back, but not necessarily as a human being. They'll come back as a rat or a bird or something in that house. They're so attached to that house and maintaining it nicely. So we should see beyond the material situation. We should, as Prabhupada mentioned here in today's purport, the Brahma-Bhuta platform, Brahma-Bhuta Prasanna-Atma, that's the first installment. If one comes to this point of self-realization, one becomes jolly, happy. No sojati, no kangshati, no hankering, no lamenting. But this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning, Prabhupada. From there, then you engage in devotional service, and then you become really, really in touch with the reservoir of pleasure and ever-increasing happiness. So, we'll stop there. If there are any questions, comments? Yes. Shri Madhav Mahotsav Prabhu. Yeah, well, we can't immediately turn the clock back in terms of their complicated lifestyle. We just add this Christian consciousness. Prophet would say, we're not against machines. If you're a Christian conscious person, you can utilize anything in Christian service. So we're not saying that immediately, you know, shut down all the airports and go back to bullock carts. We're not saying that. But yes, don't travel thinking that you're going to find some, you know, revelatory experience somewhere. It's not the case. That's not going to bring you to what the satisfaction that you're looking for. So we need to read Prabhupada's books carefully and present them carefully to the public, and that's our duty. But carefully, I had an experience on Sunday. I went to serve the Sunday feast, and there was some devotee who doesn't live in the community here, but he comes pretty regularly. And he said, can I ask you a philosophical question? I said, sure. So he said, what are the 18 kinds of perfection? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I read in the third canto, I believe it's chapter 24, text 42, Prabhupada said there are 18 kinds of perfection. Do you know what they are? So I said, I don't necessarily think that's what Prabhupada said there, but I will look when I go home and then I'll respond to you. So I looked, and Prabhupada said, clearly in the purport, it's a verse about Kardama Muni leaving home and taking sannyas. So in the purport, Prabhupada said, there are 18 processes for attaining knowledge and perfection. Big difference. 18 processes for attaining knowledge and perfection. And in the previous sentence, he mentioned Anambidvan, the 20 items of knowledge from chapter 13, 8 through 12. So you can understand that Prabhupada is saying maybe somebody left out a word somewhere. There are 18 additional, because there are 20 total items in those four verses. Amanidam, Adambidam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Arjavam. That collection, there are 20 items of knowledge that Krishna presents. So Prabhupada was saying, in essence, there are 18 additional to the two that I mentioned in the previous sentence. Amanidam, Adambidam. But this person, because they didn't read carefully, they actually committed offense. He said that he told this to some other devotee, and that devotee went to a sannyasi and asked him what are the 18 kinds of perfection, and the sannyasi didn't really know what he was talking about and was guessing. And there are no 18 types of perfection anywhere that Prabhupada mentions. You have to read carefully. 18 processes of attaining knowledge and perfection. In other words, if you follow this 20 items of knowledge that Krishna gives in the 13th chapter, you will immediately ultimately come to perfection. Not that there are 18 kinds of perfection. So the point I'm trying to make is read Prabhupada's books, but read them carefully. Otherwise, you will misrepresent, you will ask questions that are not related to anything that Prabhupada said, and it just creates a confusing atmosphere. For new people, and this was recommended to me when I joined in 73, I still recommend to anyone who joins today, read the book entirely from cover to cover, all of Prabhupada's books, just so you can understand what's there. Then when you've gone through all of it like that once, then you go back and carefully read each verse and each translation, each purport like that. And Jyotakarma Prabhu used to recommend 10 pages a day of all the major books. 10 pages of Gita every day, 10 pages of Bhagavatam, 10 pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you do that, in 1 month, 30 days, you've finished 300-page books just by reading 10 pages a day. But carefully. See, after you go through it once just to see what's there, then read it carefully. Otherwise, you create these kind of situations. You think you read that Prabhupada said 18 types of perfection. He didn't say that. And you go around convincing everybody else and ask everybody else a question, and you just create unnecessary chaos. So, all right, we've gone a little over time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Knowing you, it's for somebody.